Here's what I need you to do. Whatever platform you listen to this show on, go leave a rating and review of the show. Right now, leave a 5-star rating and review the show. Tell people what you think about it. Tell people the value you're getting. You take care of that business. I'm going to get into this episode, and I'll meet you in the middle. Let's do it.
Stayolday.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
Wouldn't it be great to be so personally driven that you inspired other people to action, even when you weren't that motivated on your own? You can do so by reading my book, The Mirror of Motivation. I've already purchased a bunch of copies that I'm going to give away for free to you, shipping them worldwide. All I need you to do is go to workonmygame.com/motivation and tell me where to ship the book. Again, that's my book, The Mirror of Motivation, The Self-Guide to Self-Discipline. I am shipping free physical copies worldwide. I paid for the book already. You take care of the shipping. Tell me where to ship it. Go to workonmygame.com/motivation. Tell us where to send your book, and I'm sending you one now. Available while supplies last. That's workonmygame.com/motivation. You are now tuned in to the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you've expected to achieve is yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative. That's that go-getter energy that moves you to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. We put all this together. What you get is the mindset, the method, the podcast known as Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show, and man, I got to tell y'all, I've said this in many different junctures of this podcast over the 3+ years, almost 3.5 years this podcast has been going through, 1,000+ episodes. Right now, I feel like a kid in a candy store. I got so many topics, so much fire. It's just like I'm looking through my topics list, and it's just like, which one do I want? Do I want the Skittles? Do I want the Twizzlers? Do I want the Mike and Ikes? Do I want the Sugar Babies? In any way, I'll be happy. It doesn't even matter which one I pick. I'm going to be happy either way. So today, the topic that we're going to talk about is don't cheat the game. Not cheating the game. Whatever game you happen to be in. I heard, actually, it was the very first episode of LeBron James' TV show that he calls The Shop, where they sit around at a makeshift barbershop, and it's just LeBron and some of his friends, business friends, athletes, entertainers, etc., having conversations. In the very first episode, I haven't seen every episode of the show, but in the first one, Jon Stewart was in the shop. Now, we know Jon Stewart's not getting a haircut at a black barbershop, but he was in the shop. He was just sitting on the couch. Any of y'all been in a black barbershop, you know, is the guys who just come in and sit on the couch. Don't even get a haircut. Just sit on the couch to be part of the conversation. And Jon Stewart was asked, when did he know it was time to walk away from his show? And those of you who don't know who Jon Stewart is, most of you probably do, he was the host of the show called The Daily Show on Comedy Central, which is now hosted by a guy by the name of Trevor Noah. But for many years, Jon Stewart was the host of that show, and he kind of made that show a thing. He made that show into a brand. He was a very funny guy. Even if you're not, you might not even be into comedy. Like, I'm not that much into comedy, but Jon Stewart's really good. And anyway, he walked away from that show. I Googled this, said 2015. Doesn't even seem like it was that long ago. But he was asked, why did he walk away? When did he know it was time to walk away from the show? Because he was just over 50 years old, which is not really that old. I mean, it's not retirement age. You know, people retire at like 65, 70. He walked away in his early 50s. And he said, Jon Stewart said he knew it was time to retire because he was showing up later to the meetings. He was, you know, leaving a little bit earlier. He wasn't doing the work the way that he normally did it. There were certain like production meetings and certain times where people would be writing. He would usually go in the room and see what was going on. But he was doing a little bit less of all of that stuff over the years. And he realized that he was doing less of it. And he said, you know what? It's time for me to step away because I'm not giving the same discipline. I'm not executing the same discipline. I'm not giving the same dedication to this that I was giving when I first started, which means it's time for me to move aside and let somebody else come in here who's going to bring it the way that they're supposed to. And as he said that, LeBron James, the host of the show, immediately interjected. And he said, you know what you just described there, John? You noticed that you were cheating the game. And when you started to cheat the game, you knew it was time for you to walk away. And that was the only thing I remember from that whole episode of the show, The Shop. And today, even though John Stewart, here's the thing, John Stewart had a ton of accomplishment under his belt by the time he decided to walk away from The Daily Show. I think he ran the show for almost 20 years, maybe, or something like that. He was doing the show. So he had a ton of accomplishment under his belt by the point that he walked away. But what I've seen, and the reason why I'm talking about this here today, is not because of John or LeBron, but because I see a lot of people who have considerably less achievement to their name cheating the game, the way that John Stewart noticed. And the thing is, John Stewart noticed that he was cheating the game. First of all, he was honest enough with himself to point it out. Second of all, he was disciplined enough with himself, mentally tough enough, I guess we could even say, confident enough to say, you know what, let me walk away from this because I'm not giving this what I'm supposed to be giving it. So it's time for me to get out of here. But I see a lot of people who have less accomplishment than John Stewart, still cheating the game, but not even noticing that they're cheating the game, and or noticing that they're cheating the game, but not doing anything about it. Basically staying on, and as we say in sports, whenever we see an athlete who appears to be overpaid, stealing money. Stealing money from the industry, stealing money from their employer, because you're not giving the effort that you're supposed to be giving, yet you keep working there, you keep collecting them checks, even though you know that you are not, you're not giving the effort that is worthy of what you're being paid for. So, and that's not a good thing. So today we're going to offer, I'm going to offer you some fixes for that, for those of you who are disciplined enough to catch yourself cheating the game. And if you know somebody who's cheating the game, maybe, you know, just play this episode while they're around. Don't tell them why. And maybe they'll listen to it and pick up on some things. Point number one, today's topic again is do not cheat the game. Point number one, remember who you were when you were new to the game. And you can always, at any point, you can compare who you are today and the way that you're showing up today, the effort that you're giving today, compare that to the person you were when you first got in, when you got your first opportunity, when the first time somebody gave you a chance. How were you feeling then? How were you approaching your job then? How are you approaching it now? Are you bringing the same? Of course, you have a whole lot more information, a lot more experience, and you have probably more accomplishments now than you had then, but you had the eagerness back then. You had the willingness back then. You were willing to show up early and stay late back then because you hadn't proved anything. Do you still have that same desire? Do you still have those same desires to prove yourself now, even though you have proved a lot to this point? There was a song by Jay-Z. Everybody knows Jay-Z. He had a song at the end of the Black album, which came out in 2003. The last song on that album, it was actually called My Last Song because that was Jay-Z's supposed retirement. You know, Jay-Z is kind of like Michael Jordan. He retired many times, but then he came back damn near every time. So he had this song called My Last Song at the end of the Black album. And those of you who know Jay-Z's music, you probably remember this song. You can listen to it right now. You'll know what I'm talking about. At the beginning of the track, the beat comes in, but it's not Jay-Z talking. You hear Notorious B.I.G., who had been actually had passed away 6 years prior. There was audio of Notorious B.I.G. speaking. And what Big is saying on the track is that he's talking to somebody. Maybe he's talking to Jay-Z. And what he's saying is, let me tell you what Puff Daddy told me. Now, everyone knows who Puff Daddy is, Sean Combs. I did a Virtual Mentors episode on him. I believe it was episode number 216. And Puff was the executive who started Bad Boy Records and signed Notorious B.I.G. as their flagship artist. And he said, Puff told me, this is Big talking, that you need to treat this job, treat your job as a rapper and your space in this industry the same way that I did when I was an intern. And those who don't know Puff Daddy's backstory, he started off, he was a college student going to Howard University in Washington, D.C., but he got an internship at Uptown Records in New York. So he would take the train from Washington, D.C. to New York and back multiple times a week just to go to his job as an intern. And at this time, he was an unpaid intern. So there was no financial incentive for him to be doing this. But on his own dime, he was taking trains back and forth from D.C. to New York while still going to college to intern at this industry because he was so eager to do his thing. And Big said, Puff told him, listen, I still show up to work every day, Puff Daddy talking to Big, as if I was an intern. Even to this day, I'm a millionaire now. I'm rich now. Everybody knows my name now. I'm the boss. I can do whatever the hell I want. I can take a month off and not come to work and nobody can say anything to me. But I still show up like I'm the intern. I still get here before everybody else. I still leave after everybody else, even though I have more accomplishments than everybody else. And Puff was trying to inspire and motivate Big and let him know, look, you need to treat this job that way. Even now that you have accomplishments, even now that you've done what you've done. Now, I'm going to come back to you now, I'm out of the story, come back to you and ask you, those of you who are veterans, you've been in your job for a while. You have some achievements under your belt. Maybe you're the boss in your organization. There's no one in your organization who can tell you what to do. Nobody can question you on anything. Nobody can second guess anything that you say. If you decide to half-ass your work, there's no one who's going to check you for doing that. Let me ask you a question. Have you grown comfortable? Have you gotten a little bit too comfortable with your work? Are you bringing the same eagerness to your job today that you had when you were new and trying to prove yourself and hoping that they didn't fire you, hoping you made it past the 90-day probation period, hoping you made it to your next job opportunity, hoping that you could just show what you could do because you knew you were capable of doing it, but only one person was willing to give you a shot? Are you still bringing that same energy to the job now that you were bringing then? Or have you grown so arrogant and complacent with your accomplishments, with your success, that you forgot about that person? You forgot who you used to be. And thusly, you started to cheat the game. And understand that cheating the game is a relative term that we're using here, ladies and gentlemen, meaning the standard that you have for yourself, or that you had maybe when you first started out, it may be different from somebody else's standard. And if someone else's standard is not as high as yours, if their standard today is not as high as yours was, that doesn't mean it's okay for you to adjust your standard to their level, to lower your standards to theirs just because that's what they're doing. Or if you are, that means you're cheating the game based on what you're capable of, not what they're capable of, but what you are. I want you to marinate on that question now as we move on to point number two. Today's topic is do not cheat the game. Point number two is shortcuts are not allowed. Shortcuts are unacceptable. Now, if you've been in your game for long enough, because this episode really is for the veterans out there. And if you're not a veteran, if you're new, you still listen to what I'm saying here, because you don't want to become the type of person that I'm describing in a few of these points here today. So make sure you're always checking yourself for these. And I'm going to tell you some ways to do that. Just keep listening. If you've been in the game long enough, we're on point number two now, you know the rules. And when I say the rules, I don't mean, all right, this is the company policy or this is the dress code. That's not what I'm talking about when I say the rules. When I say the rules, I'm saying you know the principles. Meaning the stuff that's not written down on paper, but you know if someone else who was at your same level of achievement, who you have respect for in your same industry, if they saw you doing that, you know they would say something to you. You know they would call you out. You know they'd be like, yo, you know that's not the way to go. That's what I'm talking about when I say you know the rules. I'm talking about the principles, the stuff that we don't have to write down, but everybody knows what we're talking about, okay? One of the principles of the game of basketball, for example, any of you who watch the game, if your team's up by 15 points and your team has the ball with 10 seconds left in the game, you don't go and shoot a three-pointer or go in for a slam dunk just to pad your stats or to get an extra point. You dribble out the clock and let the clock run out because your team has already won. The game has already been decided. That's a principle of the game. That's an unwritten rule. A lot of unwritten rules are what I'm going to call principles, meaning you know what it is. It's not written on paper. Nobody has to explicitly say it, but you know better than to violate it because there could be problems that come if you do so. Come from someone who understands these principles and who's willing to enforce them. All right, so everyone understand what I mean when I say you know the rules. And if you've been in your game long enough, all right, you know the rules, okay? You know when you're cutting corners. Now, you may have been doing your thing and maybe even doing it well for so long that maybe it doesn't even register with you anymore when you're cutting corners, when you're disrespecting the game. Or maybe you were raised on shortcuts. Maybe you came in the game and the person who showed you the ropes was a shortcutter himself or herself. Maybe they were a shortcutter. So the only thing you know are the shortcuts. You don't even know that it's a shortcut. It's just a normal thing for you because nobody ever taught you any differently. So you don't notice that what you're doing is not solid on the up and up type of work. Okay. This is why if you happen to be this person, and if you are, you wouldn't know it, right? Because nobody's told you that it. This is why we could all use an extra set of eyes in our lives. That's why we can all use an extra set of honest eyes, all right, not an extra set, not another cosigner, all right, not an ass kisser, not a yes man, all right, but somebody who's willing to tell you, yo, what you're doing right there is not right. Like, you know, you shouldn't have did what you just did. You know that that needs to be done a different way. You know that you're violating the principle right now is not on paper. But between me and you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't have to say anything else. You need someone in your life who can do that for you. If you don't have that person, go listen to episode number 1031, why you need not friends in your life. Why you need some people who don't need to be your friend, don't want to be your friend, but they will tell you what it is and they will tell you to your face. If you don't have any of those people in your life, again, episode 1031 will help you out with that. Point number three. Today's topic is do not cheat the game. What's the definition of cheating? It means receiving an award or gaining an unfair advantage by dishonest means. Now, listen, rewards and advantages are good things. I like getting rewards. I like having unfair advantages, an advantage that puts me in a position that doesn't really matter what you do, you're not going to win because you're just starting way behind me. I got a head start on you. As long as you earn it honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. All right, unfair advantages are good things. But dishonesty, it always catches up to you in the long run. All right, we all know the law of karma. All right, energy you put out will come find you. It knows its way around everywhere that you are around. These days, especially these days and moving forward, anyone listening to this, in the future, from when it came out, everything has a digital paper trail these days. And the work that you didn't put in to earn your spot, but you have a spot that you didn't earn, that missed work, the stuff that you never did to earn that spot, it will eventually show itself and you will be exposed. There's a story that I read. I believe it was in the 48 Laws of Power. Actually, I'm sure it was in the 48 Laws of Power, which is my favorite book, my author by the name of Robert Greene, if you haven't heard of him. But there were two painters who were working on a certain project for the city. It was a big time job. It was a lot of money involved. And there was one painter on the job who was really good. He was a very accomplished painter. He had put in his work. He had put in his time. He always respected the game. He'd been doing his thing for a long time. And he was one of the painters who was commissioned for this big painting job by the city. Right? Now they decided, the city said, hey, we're going to bring another painter in to help you out with this job so you two can collaborate and work on it together. Now, when the accomplished painter saw who the other guy was, he was very disappointed because the other guy only got in the game because he knew somebody. He was a friend of a friend of somebody. He basically got in for a political favor type of thing. He was not a very good painter. He was not very accomplished. He had not put the work in. He was cheating. He cheated his way to the top basically to get into this commission job. He was going to get half the money and he was going to get 50% of the credit for doing this work. When the accomplished painter is thinking to himself, I'm going to be doing all the damn work. This bum ass painter over here is not going to do anything, but he's going to get half the credit for the work that I'm doing. Something ain't right here. But the accomplished painter knew that it would be a waste of energy to bitch and complain about this and then make a big stink over it. That wasn't going to get anything done. That would just get people to just keep doing what they were already doing. So the painter said, I need to be more indirect with this. What's another way that I can go about proving my point? So what the painter did, the accomplished painter, once they started working on the job and things went exactly as he knew it was going to go, he was doing most of the work, but the bum ass painter was pretty much doing nothing, but he was just sitting around waiting to get his credit and his money for this job that he wasn't even working on. The accomplished painter faked a sickness. He pretended to be sick one day, so he couldn't come and do the work. So he missed a couple days of work because he's home in bed sick. And the city, who had commissioned them for the work, they sent officials to this painter's house to ask him, hey, you know, what can we do to help you speed up your recovery? Because, you know, we need this painting job done. And the accomplished painter said to them, hey, yes, I'm still getting over my sickness, but look, it's two of us working on this job. The other painter who you brought on the job, look, he's just as good as me, right? He can keep working on it while I'm sick. So just let him do the work and we'll be fine. So the city officials, he sent them away from his house. And of course, a few more days go by and the city officials are looking at the painting job and they see that this other painter who had been given the job again as a little wink, wink deal for a political favor. And everybody knew it. The city officials knew that the other guy on the job was on the job for some bullshit, that he wasn't good. They knew what it was. So when the accomplished painter told them the first time, look, let the other guy do the work, they knew that wasn't going to happen. But they had to just take it for that point. Hopefully this guy gets better quickly because we know this other painter ain't shit. So a few more days go by. The other painter who didn't earn his spot did nothing because he couldn't. He didn't have the skill. The city officials went back to the accomplished painter's house. He was still sick. And the accomplished painter said to them, look, I'm still getting over my sickness, but listen, I insist. This other painter is just as good as me. Y'all said that when you hired him. Let him finish the job. He can do it. Let me get over my sickness. It'll be a few more days. I'm not healthy yet. I'm not ready to come back to work yet. Finally, the city officials realized what the problem was, and they solved the problem. they fired the other painter. The guy who didn't deserve the spot, they fired him off the job. And miraculously, amazingly, all of a sudden, the accomplished painter recovered from his sickness and he was back on the job the next day. The point that I'm giving you here by telling you that story is, if you're the unaccomplished painter, person who didn't earn your spot, you didn't earn the position that you're in, the rewards that you're set to receive, maybe you'll be lucky enough that you can get that commission. Maybe you will get 50% of the credit for some work that you didn't really do. But eventually, all of that stuff will come back to you and you will pay it back. Everything that you owe, you will pay it back plus interest if you have not earned your spot, if you cheated the game on a way to get into where you are. Let's recap today's topic, which is do not cheat the game. Again, Jon Stewart said he knew it was time to leave The Daily Show when he stopped showing up to the meetings as early as he used to. He started leaving the studio a little bit earlier than he used to. He knew it was time to walk away and let somebody else step in who was not going to cheat the game, who was going to give everything they had to it because they were eager for that opportunity. He knew it was time for him to step aside for that. He had the discipline to do that. Many people, however, don't have that discipline. They know that they're cheating the game. They just keep cheating it because they think they're getting away with it. Or nobody ever told them that what they were doing was cheating the game. So they just keep doing it blind to the fact that they're not doing things the way that they're supposed to be done. So let's get into how you can make sure you are not cheating the game. Because if you cheat the game, the game will exact its revenge on you. Point number one, remember who you were when you were new to the game. Excuse me. Notorious B.I.G. said, Puff Daddy told him, look, when I came in the game, I was a hungry young intern just trying to get an opportunity. And to this day, I'm rich. I'm a millionaire. Everybody knows my name. I'm famous. I can do whatever the hell I want. I still work harder than everybody else in this office, even though I'm more accomplished than everybody. So what Puffy was telling Notorious B.I.G., you need to have that same hunger that you had when you started. You need to still have it today. So those of you who are veterans in your job, have you grown comfortable? Are you bringing the same eagerness now to the work that you had when you were new? Or have you grown so complacent and arrogant with your success that you've been cheating the game and getting away with it, or at least think you have? Point number two, shortcuts are not allowed. You've been in the game long enough. You know what the principles of the game are. You know when you're cutting corners. You may have done it for so long, though, that you don't even register that you're cutting corners anymore. Or on the other side of things, maybe you were brought in the game by somebody who was a shortcutter. So they taught you all the shortcuts. You don't even know them as shortcuts. You just know them as the normal way of doing things. This is why all of us can use an extra set of honest eyes in our lives. Episode number 1031, I tell you the value of having not friends in your life. People who will tell you the truth and don't give a damn if you're offended by it. If you don't have any of those people, you need to go find them. Point number three, the definition of cheating is receiving an award or gaining an unfair advantage by dishonest means. Rewards and advantages are good things, but dishonesty always catches up to you. These days, everything has a digital paper trail, and the work that you didn't put in to earn your spot will eventually show itself at one point or another. Just like that painter, the accomplished painter knew that the other painter was a bum. He exposed that guy indirectly. Eventually, the city had to let go of the other guy because he had been exposed. It was obvious that the guy was bullshit, and then the accomplished painter came back on that job. That's the same thing that'll happen to any of us when we start cheating the game for long enough. Eventually, the game will expose us one way or another, and it will be a long, hard fall from a position that we didn't even earn in the first place. Now, what's going on in the game group? You want to earn your spot? The first thing you need is the discipline. Like I said, Jon Stewart had the discipline to understand, hey, I'm cutting corners here. I can't do this anymore because I'm starting to cheat the show. I don't want the quality of the show to go down. So I got to step aside for somebody who's going to be serious about this. And he was smart enough to do that. Are you smart enough to do it? Do you have a discipline to look at your own work, know when you're cutting corners, know when you're not doing the right thing, know when you're not following your blueprint properly, and then do something about it? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But in the gang group, I'll be the discipline for you. I'll show you how to apply those disciplines to your work, to your business, to your sport, to your life, to make sure you're doing things the way that they're supposed to be done. Check yourself when you're not doing them the right way, and then what to do about it. The strategies that you need in place to actually produce the results that you're after. And if you're not getting your results, that means that something in your disciplines is not right, or something in your strategies are not right. So really what you're getting here in the game group is the insight to ask yourself the right questions, trust the answers, and had the confidence to enact those answers. Because just asking questions and getting answers feels good, but if you don't do anything with them, then does it really matter? So that's what's going on in the game group. There's a lot more that goes on there. If you want full information, go to dreallday.com/game group. The courses, audio courses that I've been talking about here on this podcast, they are available to all game group members at no additional charge. You can buy them a la carte if you wish, but if you join the game group, you get those all as part of your membership. But again, dreallday.com/game group. You can learn about that on your own. Work on your game. DreAllDay.com.
You just listened to an entire episode of my podcast. If you've been getting value from this podcast, the 1,000+ episodes that I've been putting out, or this is just your first one, please go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review of my show. It helps me out. It helps the audience out so they know what kind of show this is before they listen to it, if they want to kind of get a taste for it before they commit to listening. And it lets me know that I'm giving value to you every single day on this podcast. So anywhere you can leave a review, please go leave a review. Thank you. I appreciate it a lot. I'll see you in tomorrow's episode. Work on your game.